Thanks for listening to today's episode of Journey Now. Join us for our virtual Sunday gatherings at 10 a.m. on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or through our website at journeytn.com/livestream.
Hi everyone, this is Brett Mabry with Journey Now. I was recently reading a leadership devotional and a question was given that I want to bring to you. When you know the answer to this question, it is likely going to start shaping your day. Here it is. What are the situations and problems around you that break your heart? In my case, no immediate answer came, so I took some time to pray as I waited on God. A week later, while sitting having a coffee with a friend, I finally got a breakthrough. It was more confirmation than revelation, and it happened as I responded to another question that my friend asked. Why do you lead the Journey Arts Collective? The why question forces us to think deeply. I didn't want to rush my response, so I took a sip of coffee, and we both sat in silence as I pondered what to say. My friend didn't rush me, content to take another sip of his tea, as he waited patiently. This was such a gift to me. In the quiet of that moment, my imagination started to create a scene of boy David looking after his father's sheep on the rolling hills near Bethlehem. I'd imagined this picture before, and I knew the meaning behind it. The words came out, "I lead this ministry for all the Davids." Today we're taking a look at a day in the life of young David, and we'll use the symbolism of this story as we consider what this means for each of us. It will also explain why I said this to my friend and what breaks my heart. Perhaps it breaks yours too. About 1,000 years before Christ, we are introduced to the man named Samuel. He is one of the religious heroes in the history of Israel, and God sends him to Bethlehem to seek out Jesse and his sons, one of whom will be the next king. Samuel is a judge, a military leader, a priest, and a prophet, so it's a big deal that he's visiting. On arrival, all the town fathers greet him, and he lets them know he's there to lead a time of worship. The gathering for worship allows Samuel to carefully see and anoint with oil the next king, without it being obvious to Saul, the current king. If Saul finds out what's going on, Samuel will be killed for sure. Jesse and his boys are strategically invited to the gathering. When they arrive, Samuel takes one look at the oldest son, Eliab, and thinks, "Here he is, God's anointed." But God tells Samuel, "Don't be impressed with his looks and stature. I've already eliminated him." God judges persons differently than humans do. Men and women look at the face. God looks into the heart. Jesse works his way down the list of 7 sons, and Samuel is blunt in his response. "None of these have been chosen. Is this it? You've got to be kidding me, Jesse. Come on, mate. Are there no more sons?" Jesse replies, "Well, yes, there's the runt, but he's out tending the sheep." Samuel ordered Jesse, "Go get him. We're not moving from this spot until he's here." Jesse sent for the forgotten child as they all took a seat and waited in the tension of that moment. When David finally appeared, God said to Samuel, "Up on your feet, anoint him. This is the one." Samuel took his flask of oil and anointed him, with his brothers standing around watching. And didn't the brothers just love that? The Spirit of God entered David like a rush of wind, God vitally empowering him for the rest of his life. We can't be sure why David is kept in the background, but it appears the brothers are men while David is a boy. In this culture, children are largely viewed as burdens on society with little value to the wider life of the community. Within this context, presenting a boy may not have even crossed Jesse's mind. Some translations and commentaries suggest David's appearance is also a contributing factor to Jesse ignoring his youngest. Whatever the reasoning, Jesse thinks too little of David to present him to Samuel, and his brothers don't have much affection for him either. Let's not forget that David, while young, is a gifted fighter, especially with a sling, a talented musician and emerging songwriter. He's handsome, faithful and courageous, and above all, he loves God deeply. But the culture has spoken, and the people being shaped by this culture pay him no attention. David is overlooked and disrespected. Sadly, there are too many in our world that relate to this part of David's story. In his letter to the people living in Rome, Paul writes, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you." Even Samuel fails to identify the impact of his culture, as his surface-level observation causes him to think the oldest son will be the next king. But Samuel listens as God speaks, and he starts to see as God sees. When the seventh son is presented, Samuel comes against the actions of Jesse as he calls for the ignored and disregarded. In front of the father and brothers, Samuel affirms David, and they all see God empower the one that was considered the least. I believe we all have a role to play in being Samuel for those who are not being valued, or yet to know their value. Like Samuel, we need to be listening to the voice of God's Spirit in our lives. God will cause us to see differently, to see as He sees. The culture around the afflicted may say you are of no importance, but by the grace of God we bring His love in action to that need. My heart breaks when I see the destructive impact of a culture that turns individuals into a commodity to be exchanged. Unless the person and their work can be accounted for by industrial pragmatism, they and their art are overlooked. I'm passionate to see artists freed from finding their identity in what they do, fueled by a culture that demands they constantly prove their worth. I want to create a community where artists know that God sees them, and so do we at Journey, just as Samuel saw David. So how about you? What breaks your heart? It may take you some time to find your answer to this question. If you aren't sure, I encourage you to pray about it. See what stirs your heart as you go to Scripture. Consider your life circumstances, talk to other trusted companions, and allow the Holy Spirit to shape the answer that comes. It may be something new, or your answer may affirm and give new energy to where you are already serving. And when you know that answer, how might it shape your day? How might your prayer experience change? What will God reveal to you as you listen to Him? What will you learn as you start asking questions to others? How does love in action look as you respond? What risk or step of faith will be required? Let me pray for us as we commit this to the Lord using lyric from some of David's songs. Heavenly Father, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back, I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there, then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence, coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. Create in me your heart. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths for my life. Guide me in your truth and teach me today. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed these episodes, please consider helping us continue to produce them with a financial gift. Go to journeytn.com/give to learn more.